Welcome to the Happy Homeschooler Podcast, a digital support group for everyone interested in a learning lifestyle. I'm your host, Melody.
And I'm your co-host, Holly.
Jennifer can't join us today. She's helping out her daughter, who just had her second baby. Today, we'll be discussing how to teach astronomy. But before we get to that, how have you been since last time, Holly? It's been a while since we've been on the mic together.
It sure has been. Well, I've been doing all right. Golly, the last time we were together, I think we were... was back in January when we were having a real cold snap. So I brought in a kitty that I had been caring for. I'd gotten her fixed and vaccinated last year, but she was still an outdoor kitty. You know, I was just like her caretaker, but she wasn't really my cat. But I felt too bad to let her stay out in the cold. So I brought her into the guest room, and her name is Queen Liliuokalani. And we had her for about a month, and the weather was going to get nicer, and I just didn't want to put her back outside. So I happened to speak with a woman at my church who wanted a cat, and happy ending to the story, they adopted Queen Lily. They adore her. She's warming up to them, and I'm closing the book, I hope, on the Cat Rescue Lady volume of the past couple years.
Yay!
So that's what's been occupying me. You know, I had to check up on her. When I sent her to the people after they picked her up, it was very hard for me to wait like a whole week. It was even longer than that because we had colds and we didn't go to church. So I had hoped to see her at church, but it was real hard for me to wait to check in on her. And I was delighted when they said they just loved her and that she had a home with them and everybody's happy. So anyway, and now I'll get updates on her and that makes me happy. So what about you? What have y'all been up to?
Well, I think it's so nice that you've adopted her out of someone that you can, that you know, and you can get those updates. That's always really helpful when you, when you've grown attached a little bit to a kitty. So that's good. We've been having all manner of technological troubles.
Oh, no.
They're continuing, as you know, even today. Some of them might have been weather. Some of them might have been, we live in the boonies of the boonies, and some of the internet, you know, the providers, I don't know how strong the towers are, and things just didn't work. So everything is newly updated multiple times. We tried all the things, and it was kind of hit or miss. So it was just an opportunity to do other things, and we haven't always had the internet anyway, and so it's like, well, we'll just get other things done, and so... that wasn't terrible. I cleaned out some things. My son came over. We cleaned out the shed. We did have quite an experience on the day that AT&T and nobody had cell service. We got stranded in town with a car problem. And so there we were with no way to call anyone for help. And that was interesting. We ended up, we were in a shopping center, so we went back in a store. The Wi-Fi at some point connected to the Wi-Fi, the guest Wi-Fi. And so I was able to use an app and text some of my kids and say, hey, we're having trouble. And then through a series of inventive message making, we found out who might be off and who could come and pick us up. And then by the time I got there, our car was working fine again. So my son-in-law very graciously followed us home, and then through a lot of brainstorming, anyway, they all figured out what was the probable cause, and we replaced a part just to, hopefully that won't happen again. We hope that was preventive maintenance, and that will take care of just replacing the thermostat should take care of the problem, but it was one of those, like, well... I don't see a payphone anywhere.
Oh, no. There are no payphones anymore.
Oh, and even if I did, nobody's cell phone was working. So it was a moment. But we're all good now. My car's running fine. And so I was like, well, someone said, or something I saw somewhere said that was from solar flares. I thought, well, that kind of leads right into our conversation today about astronomy and things out there can affect us here on the Earth. So,
oh, that is for sure.
Let's talk about astronomy.
Let's do talk about astronomy. It's not just a topic that's limited to theoretical physicists or anything, is it?
Right. No, it affects us in ways we don't even imagine. What do you think about when you say, we're going to do a study of astronomy, what comes to mind?
You know, really simple things like the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. I'm not a super deep science thinker. I can't talk to you about black holes or anything like that. But I do know that the moon has an effect on our tides, and that we can tell seasons by what constellations are in the sky. And those are basic things I've tried to teach my kids. Real basic astronomy is kind of what I think of. What about you?
Same here. We always started with the things that they could see and things that they could be aware of. Some concepts in astronomy are pretty abstract. And so, since we only started with younger children, we did the same thing. The constellations, we always loved to go out and stargaze. It got a little harder in the summer because it would mean they would be up really late, but of course it didn't really matter. And just learning, like you said, the different constellations that are out in the sky at different times of the year.
Yeah, a lot of times astronomy comes up when we're studying other subjects. For example, when we were reading a book by Holling C. Holling called Seabird, it's about whaling ships, you know, back in the day. But back in the day, they didn't have some of the navigation things we have now. So they used the stars and the seasons that the different constellations appeared to help them. And we would talk about that, and then we would try to find those constellations. So there are practical reasons to learn about those things. Even today, we don't really need it. You know, we don't need it. But it's nice to know when you look up in the sky what parts of the year you can expect to see the constellation Orion, or what that bright star, quote unquote, is. And it's really a planet, and you can only see that certain planet at a certain time of the year.
Right.
It's fun to learn about. So I think it is important to study astronomy for a variety of reasons. What reasons did you come up with in your homeschool, or why did you study astronomy?
Well, honestly, my husband is a Trekkie.
Oh, okay.
And so Star Trek has always been, he's a huge fan. And so some of the children, of course, were fans of Star Trek. And other science fiction movies, Star Wars. There's just so many fiction out there. And so my kids were interested in how much of that was science and how much of that was fiction, and curious about black holes. And so we approached astronomy for that reason, but also it probably just came up in our science and some of the things that we were talking about, like you mentioned, history. We were doing unit studies on, we did one on the sun, the moon, the stars. It just was like the next thing we wanted to learn. And then the kids had great fun in seeing what they could, you know, what they could memorize and what constellations they could recognize. And we were fortunate to live so far out that it was dark enough for us to see the constellations. And then my husband would, we'd all climb in the car and drive to a super dark spot, show them the Milky Way. I just wanted to build that fascination and curiosity about the world around us. And so astronomy fell into the boat there because we wanted to know more than we. We just went to the library and checked out everything they had on astronomy, stars and moon and the planets. And then, of course, you know, they might have seen an episode of The Magic School Bus, Lost in the Solar System. And so all of those things have just built interest. We would just capitalize on it. And we did do a unit of study, but astronomy, like you said, just keeps coming up in daily life. And, you know, I told the story about my husband and father-in-law getting lost with their brother-in-laws, and because they knew something of the stars, they could find their way back to the road. And,
yeah, that's real helpful.
That was in the days before cell phones. Like, we didn't know what had happened to them. They were hours and hours and hours overdue. There wasn't any way to get a hold of them. But little did we know, they were trying to find their way back.
Sure. Well, and just like you pointed out, we had this, this national cell phone outage. And it is important to know things. you know, knowing where the position of the sun is gives you an idea of what time of the day it is. And you know the sun moves from east to west, you can figure out where you are, where north and south are in proximity. These things are not useless in our modern era. And I think that, you know, everyone should have some basic knowledge about those kinds of things, because we don't know when we will have a need for them. And you cannot go and retrieve information you don't have.
That's right. And I know that one way that my one daughter learned so much about astronomy was in scouting, because they did a lot of camping, and then they were, you know, off grid, so to speak. And so they were learning, like, how would you find your way home and how to orient your campsite, all of those things based on the movement of the sun. And so that was important learning. I was really glad that she had the opportunity to learn from someone who had really dug into the topic quite a bit more than I had. But even when, you know, planting a garden and knowing where to
orient. I was just going to say that, yeah. If you think so many things that are here on the earth are affected by things that are up in the solar system. You know, we like to go to the beach, and sometimes if you go to the beach and the tide is out, you know, you get to see different things. So knowing that the moon affects the tides and what the tide, high tide and low tide are going to be, that can have a lot of impact on your enjoyment of the beach or things you can see. Astronomy is just such a... It can be such a practical topic. Some people think, oh, you know, I need a degree to understand astronomy. But it can be a really practical, everyday topic. And I think that's a good reason why we should all do something, you know, incorporate some astronomy information into our homeschools.
Exactly. Well, I want to give them a foundation so that if they want to go and learn more, they have something from which to build. Some basic understanding of the, you know, the earth moving in space and moving around the sun, and just the way that the way the moon affects our tides, and how the seasons are, you know, connected, like just having some vague idea when they're little, then the more they learn, even reading books, especially if you're reading historical, you know, history episodes, but also just historical fiction. Before the technological age, everybody was very aware of the movement of the stars and the planets and the moons and all that, so because they were more in touch with, you know, what's right in front of them. And so without understanding what they were talking about, I don't think that they would have as much enjoyment of those stories. I think some of that would get lost.
Yeah, well, you know, here we are
reading.
Yeah, here we are in leap year. You know, a lot of people are like, why do we have an extra day in February? And why my son and I, this year, we're reading about Augustus Caesar. We're reading the Genevieve Foster, Augustus Caesar's World. We're reading a book called Archimedes and the Door of Science. And we're learning about how the calendar was all messed up because they based it on the moon rather than on the travel of the earth. And, you know, all that stuff is astronomy based. And even in one of my favorite movies is a Nicolas Cage movie. I always forget the name of it. Somebody's trying to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, National Treasure.
National Treasure, yes. And they're trying to figure something out, and they talk about daylight savings time and that Ben Franklin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we can play around with using things like that to our advantage, but all of it has a basis in the movement of the planets and when the sun rises and sets and all these things. And you'll be a much more well-rounded person for having some of that basic knowledge. You know, even though I'm not an astronomer by any stretch of the imagination, I absolutely love any kind of astronomy-related thing. A local library here has really fueled my enjoyment because they hold star parties all the time where local amateur astronomers, mm-hmm. they bring their telescopes, these gigantic telescopes, and they set them up and we can look through the telescopes and see all kinds of stuff. And it's really funny because one of my friends and her daughter and my son and I, we always get together and go to these star parties, but we, the parents, are way more interested than the kids are.
And well, oh, but I think that's It's so cool that your library does that.
Yeah, and they'll set up things like one time they set up all these demonstrations before it was dark enough to go out and look through the telescopes. And they showed how black holes work and how gravity bends. And they had like a coin or a ball, and it was going around in a circle on this stretchy fabric. And I think at the time, gosh, it was in 2019 or early 2020. So yeah, it was in early 2020, 4 years ago. So my son was only 7, and that really helped him to understand black holes. And ever since then, he would talk pretty knowledgeably about black holes. And then when it would come up in something else we were studying, he'd say, oh yeah, well, you know, you remember that thing. And I thought, man, that library has given us such a gift. Anytime there's something going on, if there's a lunar eclipse, or we had the annular solar eclipse that we were fortunate enough to see here in Central Texas back in, I think it was October. We always get together with our friends or get together down at the library and just soak up all the information they want to share with us. We love it.
We do too. And even, like, as you know, all of my kiddos are been out of the house, but we are sending pictures back and forth to each other because I pulled out my colander so I could, you know, look at the shadow of that eclipse in October.
Fun.
And I'm snapping pictures of it to send to my kids. And like, oh yeah, that's today. And they're sending me pictures of the pinhole cameras that they made, and or the pinhole viewers, I should say. And the interest that was sparked when they were younger continues. We still just love knowing and learning new things. And so I love that your library, though, does such an active job to incorporate astronomy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea.
Like, and I'm like, oh, and at the annular eclipse, they had solar glasses to hand out, eclipse glasses. I had already bought some, because I didn't want to have to rely on running out the last minute to get them anywhere. But a lot of the libraries in the area were handing them out free until they ran out of their supply. And so we didn't have to make any pinhole viewers. Although the last time in 2017, when we had the total eclipse come through here, I made a viewer with a paper plate. And my son was little and he was taking a nap. And my husband and I kept taking turns going out and looking at the eclipse through that little pinhole viewer. And that was really amazing to see what you could see through that, a very simple contraption that you can make with a paper plate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah. And I love to, you know, fire up the fire pit and go outside at night, and then I'll look. We'll get, my phone has the app. It's called Skywatch, I think. And you can point it at anything in the sky and it will tell you what it is. And so that's super fun. And we can point, hey, that's Venus. Look at that. That's Venus. Didn't it look like a star? But no, it's Venus. Or, oh, that's the constellation Orion. Or, you know, whatever is looking, we can find. We can just point that app at it and it'll tell us what it is.
Yeah, I used to have it on my phone. I think I got a new phone and lost it. But I'm going to have to do that again. We used to have the glow-in-the-dark night skybook, where you would like charge it with your flashlight and then you could go outside in the dark and the stars were glowing.
Oh my gosh,
match it up to the sky. Oh, it's way fun. I always find the kids, like, they'd kind of turn off all the lights and charge the book, and then they'd be in there seeing if they could identify the constellations just from the stars, because the little connecting lines didn't glow, but just the stars. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And of course, any glow-in-the-dark anything is my fun when you're a kid. So.
Oh, yeah. I still like glow-in-the-dark things. I think they're cool.
Very cool.
My family knows this about me, but I love space movies. Now, I have to say, I didn't love 2001 A Space Odyssey because I think it just moves too slowly for me. But any space movie, I am all about it. And I have no problem with the suspension of disbelief.
So right.
I just
That's
totally
part of
get
the
into
fun.
It. Yeah. That being said, I don't know if I want to be, you know, taking a trip to the moon. If that opens up to regular people at some point, I don't know if that's something for me. But I was very fascinated to watch the touchdown recently of a craft on the moon sent up by the U.S. after so long. And I just wonder what they're going to do about going back to the moon now. So, Yeah, that, I love astronomy. I probably need to learn even more about it because I'm just so fascinated by it.
Well, and I think there's always going to be more to learn. The more we have our web technology, the more they can learn. Better telescopes, better, just everything.
Oh, yeah. The pictures from the James Webb telescope versus the ones from the Hubble are astonishing.
It's amazing.
Just astonishing. Yeah.
It's amazing. And I love looking at those photographs. And then, you know, we also love the science movies and movies about space. And my husband was just watching Apollo 13 the other day. And
I watched that recently myself.
Yeah. And then there's something in there where they're talking about, like, are we going to go back and when and space travel and all those things. Like, it's always fun to, and it's so different what's available now from when I was a kid. I remember having a little book that was like, will we go to the moon? It's like, oh, wow, that was way, way, way. I kind of wish I still had that book. That would be fun. But we have always enjoyed space movies. Like I mentioned, Star Trek and Star Wars. And just the idea of, you know, space travel being as calm as jumping in your car and going to the store. That's kind of a fun concept to think about.
Yeah, it surely is. I wonder if our kids, our kids' kids, if that will be something that happens in their lifetime. The Happy Homeschooler podcast is sponsored by Transcript Maker.
Transcript Maker is an online service that allows you to create professional high school transcripts from the comfort of your own home.
Save the worry. Never fear losing your transcript. Transcript Maker keeps it saved in the cloud so you can access it anywhere, anytime.
Save your time. High school transcripts are made in a breeze with Transcript Maker. You just plug in your courses and grades, and the GPA appears on the transcript like magic.
Save your money. Transcript Maker offers a 14-day free trial, so you can give it a test drive and see how you like it. And when you decide to subscribe, you can save 20% off the cost of your subscription by using our exclusive coupon code HAPPY. That's HAPPY in all caps.
Head to www.transcriptmaker.com and save today.
Transcript Maker.
Simply better transcripts. So let's talk about some of the things that we did and some of our favorite resources. We were big, big fans of H.A. Rey's books. Find the Constellations.
Oh, I love that book. Yeah.
I do too. And I checked it out from the library recently when I was doing an astronomy unit with my elementary kids at school. And it is just as good now as it was when I was using it with my own kids. I just love, it's very straightforward and very simple. And the way that he connects the stars to make the constellations is easy to remember. And not, you know, not difficult. It's like stick figures, and they look like what they are. And we got fairly confident about the main constellations in the winter, because that's when we did the bulk of our constellation studies.
Yeah, I love that book, and I have it somewhere. I was looking for it before we got together to do this episode, and I have misplaced it somewhere in my many bookcases. I have bookcases everywhere. But that book is a favorite of mine. We never got really proficient at identifying a lot of different constellations, but I can find Orion and I can find the Geminid. I know that the book is a resource. So I think, who was it? Albert Einstein said he never bothered to memorize things that he could look up. So...
Well, there you go.
I'll just get the book out. Oh, like, here's this time of the year, and here's what we can see in the sky, you know, in this direction. I think the SkyWatch app has kind of taken over in that respect for me, but the H.A. Rey book has a lot of information. The SkyWatch app doesn't tell you things. It just tells you what you're seeing. So you still need another resource to give you more information. When I was a kid, our school would take a field trip to a planetarium. I loved going to the planetarium. And then there's a traveling planetarium, and you can book it for groups. I don't know what it costs, but a couple of times when my older kids were younger, we had the pleasure of going to visit that when it was traveling through Central Texas. And you crawled inside of it, and then you laid down, and they would, you know, cast all the things on it. And it was like a 360-degree surrounding And oh, it was amazing. So that is a resource that groups could get together and see if it's coming to their area, if they can utilize that for, you know, like a co-op experience or a regional homeschool group or something like that. Planetariums are great. If you have a chance to go to one, I highly, highly recommend it.
They're so fun. One time, there was a planetarium, or there is a planetarium, close to where my cousins live. And so when we would take a trip, that was a family outing. We went to the planetarium. That was the first time I'd ever gone, and I never forgot how fascinating it was. So that whole, like you said, just the expanse, that was a very cool building, for one thing, and then just to see the stars, and then they did a really great job of talking about it, and that was a super fun memory. So, like, if there's not a planetarium near you, that can be something that you incorporate in a family trip. It's worth going, finding one, and going to want to see it or see the show. And we had an observatory to see a big group. I think that might have been a scouting trip, but that was fun too because we got to go and look through the huge telescope and hear what they were telling us all about the sky. And you know, we were taking turns to learn through there, but it was so much fun just to be able to bring something so far away a little bit closer and understand it a little bit better.
Yeah, and I think that kind of thing really does pull kids in and give them more curiosity, because looking at a picture in a book, little two-dimensional kind of thing, it's interesting. But the planetarium experience, that is something like 10 times, you know, 100 times greater. It mm-hmm. really, if you've never gone to one, you should definitely make it a priority to go to one, because that experience will stay with you forever. And it's hard to describe exactly how impactful it is, but it's very impactful, and it does get you more. I think that's probably why I love space stuff so much, is those early experiences as a kid going to a planetarium. What other kind of resources have y'all used in teaching astronomy or getting your kids interested in astronomy?
Well, I know that PBS used to play the Magic School Bus, and anytime the solar system episode would come on, everybody would get all interested in the solar system again. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, that was fun. And then at some point along the way, we acquired the book, which is so much fun to read because there, every page has got gobs and gobs of little side notes on it and little notes and extra little pieces of information. And so,
isn't that the one where it helps you, it tells you how you can calculate what your weight would be on the different planets and how old you would be on the different planets because of the difference in the years and all?
And the gravity, yes, it is in there.
Yeah.
Little side notes are in there. And we recently did that with my elementary class. Everybody was calculating their weight. And of course, they're all about the same size, so it's coming up fairly similar. But that was a way to make something like so abstract more personal to the kids. Like, mm-hmm. oh, you mean if I was on the moon, I would weigh this many pounds? And that was a fun way. And then there's a good bit of science in there, and it makes a good jumping off point for going and doing some more research. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had that, and then I mentioned the Glow in the Dark Night Sky book, which we used a lot. But there was also one, a series of books, and the Brown Paper School books, which are just little books about different big topics, I guess you could say. But they have one about the night sky, and so it was laid out in such a way that we could just like go through that book and do the activities, that all kinds of fun activities in there. I know they had another one about digestion and life, but we would just dip in and learn a little bit of this and a little bit of that about each planet and do some of the activities in there, and it just kept the interest alive. And so the main thing we learned, we've already mentioned all the big things, but then that one had stories about why this constellation was named this and how it was up in the sky in relation to the others and what mm-hmm. the story was and why. And so it gave us a little bit more to hang on to as far as learning to remember some of those facts. But those were fun. And I know now today there are so many more resources. You've got YouTube, which has all kinds of videos, and some of them are incredibly well done.
Yeah, my younger daughter really liked the Crash Course videos. She really found them very interesting and very easy to understand. And Crash Course also has Crash Course Kids. So for the younger kids under high school, age, there are videos. And we're studying, so we do nature study as part of our Charlotte Mason studies. And this term of school, we're studying the sky, which, you know, everything up in there. So, we've had a lot of conversations recently about the sky and how the, you know, the seasons affect what kind of weather we're going to have, and then what affects the seasons. And again, we were reading Archimedes and the Door of Science. We just read a chapter where they were talking about all the stuff he figured out about the planets and why the planets have the names that they have. And it's been a lot of fun. And so I want to go in and look at some of those Crash Course Kids videos and pull them out. My son really responds to videos. He loves anything on a screen, as many 11-year-olds do.
Yes.
You know, like when we go outside, I'll hand him my phone and say, open up that Sky app so we can look and see what's going on up there. And that'll keep him going for quite a while. And so I thought, well, you know, we'll read. I like to read some things out of our books that we're using. And then I like to find a video that goes with the book or with the topic. So the next few weeks, I'm going to be concentrating on, you know, topics about the eclipse coming up and other things that have to do with our nature study, and then finding videos to go along with it to help cement that information in his little brain.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's such a good idea for all topics of study. Like, if you just stick with what's in the book, that information does kind of fade away. But when you take a further action and, you know, a video or some activity, it really does give you, just gives more ways for you to remember.
Yeah, anything that touches more senses cements the learning more. So if you read it, you'll remember some of it. If you read it and you watch something, you remember more. If you read it and watch something and do an activity, or you write a paper, or you do a drawing, you know, those layers really embed the information into your brain more.
And then if you tell somebody about what you learned, that will really help to cement it. We found that a lot of times if you gave them a project to go and learn something and then come back and tell the rest of us, we all learned so much more that way.
Oh, for sure. And that's one thing that's made me such a Charlotte Mason devotee is the narration. In the early years, children narrate orally. As they get older, they start writing their narrations down, which is the beginning of learning to communicate in the written word. But again, that cements the learning. And that's what we're looking for. I'm not trying to get my son to become, you know, just a fact regurgitator, but really to absorb what he learns, be able to use it in other areas to make those connections. And so, you know, studying astronomy, it's not really nothing we study is a standalone topic. So
that's true.
It makes, you know, connections to other things.
It's those connections, I think, finding those connections or discovering them between the different topics of study is part of what I love about homeschooling, because it's not all separate little categories and compartments. Everything bleeds over into every other topic. And that's just one of my favorite things about learning.
Yeah, me too. And I love it when my son, because I try not to point the connections out to him. I can see him and I'm just like, oh.
Just right.
Yeah, but when we were reading about in Augustus Caesar's world, how the calendar was so messed up. And then we read about it again in another, with another slant on it, in Archimedes and the Door of Science. And he said, hey, Wasn't that a certain time period? Oh, also, we're reading Plutarch's Lives. We're reading about Pompey. And he got interested in finding out, this isn't astronomy-based, but just talking about these connections. He got interested in finding out whether Pompey might have lived at the same time as Julius Caesar or Augustus Caesar. And so then he did some research, and I was like, hey, you're thinking. And then he was like, well, they probably had all had to deal with these things with this bad calendar. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. So, and again, the calendar has to do with the passage of time, which has to do with how the earth and everything is, you know, in the solar system. And so then we're back to astronomy.
Here at the end of our podcast, we sometimes find ourselves in the book nook, where we discuss the books on our minds and on our bedside tables. Holly, do you have a book to discuss with us today?
Well, you know, we read a lot of books as Charlotte Mason homeschoolers, and our literature book that we just finished for this term was The Hobbit, which I had never read in my life, and I adored it.
Oh, you did mention that. Isn't it good?
Oh, yes. I really adored it. Now, I have to say that the reason I had never read it before is I had tried to start off with the Lord of the Rings series, and those sentences were really long, and I was like, this is too boring, I can't deal with it.
A little wordy.
Yeah. My husband says it's because Tolkien was paid by the word when he was writing. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's funny. Yeah, but one of the policies I have with our Ambleside online curriculum is that we read the books that are scheduled. And sometimes we start out and I'm not too enamored. Like, The Wind in the Willows. At first I didn't really like it, but I grew to just love that book. And The Hobbit, actually, it caught my attention right away. And I think it's because, okay, this is weird and I'm not really sure how to explain it, but I love fantasy things, like the thought that there are elves and these dwarves, like in the book, and that there's this fantasy world. Like, I love The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe with all the animals talking. Like, all that stuff just delights me. So I got right into The Hobbit right away. And I just, the further we got into it, the more and more I loved it. And we do it as a read aloud. So I would read it aloud, and my son would listen, and then he would narrate. The problem with reading aloud when you're an empathic person like I am is when you start a sentence that says Thorin, you know, is dying, I got all choked up. He's like, why are you crying? I go, hold on.
Yes.
But, I just love that book. It's going to go up on the shelf with the Never Get Rid Of books. And I can't wait to have somebody else to read it to at some point, if I'm lucky enough to have grandchildren. That's going to be a book I will read.
Read with them.
Yeah. So now I think I'm primed to give The Lord of the Rings another try.
It is good. I think I read The Hobbit first, and then I read The Lord of the Rings. But I didn't read The Lord of the Rings until much later in life. And my best friend in high school was asking me to read them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know how much I was missing. And so I was really glad when I did. I do. I love... He does build great word pictures, and you can imagine what he is describing to you. But sometimes it does get bogged down. And, you know, there are a few times I'd be reading through there and get bogged down in Mordor and just, like, skip ahead.
Mm-hmm.
After I've read it a few times, and I have a friend who reads it every year.
Oh, wow.
The whole series, and she reads it every year. And she always invites us to join in. And the most recent time, that's the last time I read it, was at some point last year.
How fun. A whole group reading. That's fun. I got
kind of
intrigued. I have to say that, like I said, I was not really interested in Tolkien, but I do like C.S. Lewis, and I read a book, and it was a youth book about the friendship between C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. And that really piqued my curiosity, so that when The Hobbit came up, I was like, okay, well, this is a good way to delve into it. I'm reading it with a fifth grader, so if it's a book that's in this section of Ambleside Online, which technically he's in year six, it's not a grade level thing, it's just where you start and where you're going. So anyway, but I was like, well, certainly if the book is intended for a child of around his age, I should be able to hang in there, you know, and now it's just one of a very beloved book, and I probably will read it. You know, I have some books I read every year, just The Little House on the Prairie series. I read that every year. I find it delightful. And I think The Hobbit's going to go right up there with the annual reading that I do. So if you are listening and you've never read The Hobbit, I encourage you to read it. And if you have read The Hobbit, I want to know what you like about it.
Before we go, we want to leave you with a few reminders.
We wouldn't have a podcast without our listeners' support, and you can give us even more support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and sharing new episodes on social media.
Remember that you can get 20% off the cost of your Transcript Maker subscription with our exclusive coupon code HAPPY. That's HAPPY in all caps.
If you want to send us a big question of your own, you can email us at happyhomeschoolpod@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at happyhomeschoolpod.
If you want to learn more about anything we discussed today, check the show notes in the episode description, or go to our website at www.happyhomeschoolerpodcast.com.
Next episode, we'll be discussing project-based homeschooling.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Melody.
And I'm Holly.
Happy homeschooling! Thank you for listening to the Happy Homeschooling Podcast, a Transcript Maker production. I'm your host, Melody Gillum. My co-hosts are Jennifer Jones and Holly Williams-Gerbach. This podcast is produced by Matthew Bass and edited by Nora Williams. Our logo is by Nora Williams, and our music is by the Great Pangolin. You can find more of her work on YouTube and Twitter at Kylie Wins. That's KAILEY Wins.